Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com, where we cover all the news in independent pro wrestling. And it was a pretty full weekend this fest with the results. Of course, go to PWPonderings.com/results. As always, I'm Chris Justy, the web admin. I could not do this alone. So, Senior Editor Jerome Cusan, how are you doing, sir?
Well, Chris, if you wanted to, you could do it alone. It would just be a very boring podcast because there would be no banter.
It would be a lot like this Undertaker feud that I keep reading about, right?
You know what, Chris? Just like Fight Club, we're not going to talk about the Survivor Series.
Really not. We're going to talk about more exciting things. And, of course, Brian DeBrain is on with us. Brian, how are you doing, man?
Feeling really good now that I got my PWG tickets secured. And it's going to be quite the weekend in 2 weeks. And then 5 days later in Star Wars. So it's going to be quite the happy holiday for me and probably everyone going to PWG and watching Star Wars. So very excited and gobble, 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 and happy Thanksgiving, and do some shopping, everybody. It's the American way.
I was going to say, that's why you're trying to get all this Jessica Jones in, right? Because PWG, man, that weekend, you're going to have no life. There's nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, Jessica Jones, I'm halfway through. Got to say, it's quite the follow-up to Daredevil. Check it out. It's a really dark show. And also trying to catch up on the Tag League because, you know, going in, I had no interest to the New Japan Tag League, but Michael Elgin and Tanahashi as a tag team is really doing it for me. So hopefully they'll be a sign of things to come and maybe, you know, a preview for next year because that'd be a hell of a tag team to be in the tag division and maybe even be like the tag champs of New Japan. That'd be a hell of a team to see.
For sure. No, I finished the Tenryu retirement shows and I'm like, it left me a little sad. So yeah, the tag league, I got something to kind of build me back up. So glad to hear that Elgin and Tanahashi is kind of working out. So yeah, as I mentioned before, lots of results from this past weekend. Go check it out on the website. We are going to discuss the CZW, CWF, and the Omega results because the Ring of Honor results were TV tapings. That's all spoiler talk. So you can go check that out if you want. I will say there are some surprises. Also, check out the podcast of Honor, where at the very end of the show, we do discuss the spoilers if you want to hear about that. But you can pretty much listen to the whole show without having that problem. Lucha Underground as well, some interesting spoilers. I don't really know how to put that. And that's not, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but if you want to go read them, they're up on the website too. So, guys, why don't we just delve right in? The first thing we should talk about, CZW held Night of Infamy and WSU Cherry Tea, the fundraiser show for Cherry Bomb. And Jerome, you know, Dave Muscarella, he was there. I don't know if you were following his results, but you know what? Didn't seem like a bad show. We had Annie Social defeating Angie Sky, Penelope Ford, Brittany Blake, Sozio, Joey Janela, and Akira defeating Jules Malone, Sassy Steph, Amanda Rodriguez, Dave Crist, and Greg Excellent. Lufisto defeated Rick Cataldo in what seemed like a pretty interesting match. I mean, if any of you don't know who Rick Cataldo is, he's got a fun little game. He's Adrian Street. That's who he is. And then Team Tremendous defeating The Dollhouse. Leva Bates defeated Solo Darling. And Jessica Havoc and Matt Tremont defeated Allison Kay and Pepper Parks in the main event. Obviously, it being a fundraiser show, hopefully raised quite a bit of money. But Jerome, I mean, this is one of those times when wrestling does something good for one of its talents.
Yes, absolutely. An opportunity for CZW and WSU to do something for one of their own. Cherry Bomb has been a huge factor in the world of both of those companies as a manager and as a performer. It's good to see them do something for her, and hopefully everything turns out okay. Hopefully Cherry Bomb comes back very soon because she is someone who has gotten quite a bit better over the last year or so, has really developed into a very reliable and solid female talent. So I definitely want to see her back in WSU and a number of other places.
So I would definitely assume you'd pop the champagne for this, most likely. So, Brian, overall, when it comes to CZW, I know you don't get a lot of chances to, but when you hear about stuff like this, we get this a lot. You know, hey, you know, when you guys cover CZW, some people have accused us, and maybe rightfully so, of being a little negative sometimes. But when CZW, WSU, when they do stuff like this, I think that it just overall, it I don't want to say it lifts your heart or something, but it's nice to see them give back.
Yeah, this was a really great effort from all the wrestlers and of the promoters to put this together for Cherry Bomb, and really sad situation anytime a wrestler gets hurt and just, you know, hospital bills, they pile up, and we all know that. So if anything, this is kind of like, I don't know, maybe hopefully 5-10 years from now, there'll be some kind of system in place where indie wrestlers don't have to lie on insurance forms or all that kind of stuff to get the medical care they need for getting hurt in the ring. But because injuries do happen in the ring, it's an art form that really causes you to get some pain and some blues and agony. So hopefully, you know, next time maybe a wrestler goes down and has an injury, I mean, sure, they'll do another chair show, but hopefully we'll have a system in place to get maybe some kind of insurance or something. But kind of sad situation, but at least the CZW and WSU did good here. So good for them.
CZW Night of Infamy held the same night as some of the major results. The Wire title, Joey Janela defeated Leo Rush. Greg Excellent defeated Connor Claxton. TV Ready defeated Devin Moore and Lucky 13, which is one of the results I guess I have a slight problem with. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You had AR Fox defeated Danny Havoc. The CZW Tag Championship, Team Tremendous defeated the Hooligans to retain. Masada defeated Drew Gulak with his pendant knees to the face. And the CZW World title match, the Squared Circle of Sacrifice, Matt Tremont defeated DJ Hyde with a Death Valley driver through a barbed wire board to retain his title. And if you look at some of the photos that we posted, pretty gruesome. And the reason why I mentioned the issue with one of the bookings is just because they have already announced for Cage of Death, Tremont versus Masada versus AR Fox versus Devin Moore. And while three of those guys won, you know, in a pretty big show, not even for me, it's usually one of the bigger shows for CZW, you had Devin Moore and Lucky 13 lose. And I don't see the point of that. But you kept, like I said, Masada, AR Fox going in strong. And Jerome, we talked about this a little bit right before we started the show. Matt Tremont, I think it's pretty obvious, was going to face Nick Gage at the biggest show of the year for CZW, and that's not happening now. So
they really just had to go to the backup plan, which is to have three other competitors in the Cage of Death right along with Matt Tremont. And we'll have to see what happens. We'll see how this all develops. Obviously, Masada is well known in CZW circles, as is Devin Moore. And one of those guys will be the CZW champion, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Pretty much a disastrous end-of-the-year scenario for CZW, both losing the opportunity to be on pay-per-view, as well as not losing out on Nick Gage. So it's tough to criticize CZW for this, just because there really isn't anything else they could have done. You know, it was the direction of the company was very obvious, and it's just terribly unfortunate that, you know, we did not get the opportunity to see those two guys in a Cage of Death, because I think that match would have garnered a lot of interest from CZW fans and maybe even some casual, you know, deathmatch fans as well.
Yeah, no, they're making the best that they can. They've already also announced Tim Donce versus Joe Gacy in an I Quit match, and then Ricky Shane Page facing Danny Havoc in an Ultraviolent Rules death match at Cage of Death. So, I mean, they're putting on the best show that they can, but like you said, without Nick Gage, a little bit of a loss. But, I'm still excited for the show, even though it's not going to be on pay-per-view. They're going to try. I'm assuming it's going to be an iPay-per-view. But like you said, it's just one of those things. I know that, Brian, you and I kind of talked about it, and I don't think we were ever going to see Nick Gage in PWG or something, but even you were interested, like, hey, Nick Gage is back on the scene. Let's see what kind of crazy stuff people can do with him. And I think this, what CZW is doing, obviously building him towards a title match, I'm fairly certain you were interested in that.
Nick Gage was like kind of before my time. I started watching in 2006, and it was just primarily Ring of Honor stuff, and then a little bit of CZW here and there. But he was kind of like a legend, I guess, an urban legend, maybe, I don't know, of like this deathmatch kind of wrestler, kind of almost like this Super Dragon kind of vibe where he brings us realism to the wrestling he does. And he had this vibe to him, and, boom, all of a sudden it's gone. It didn't even last that long, and it sucks, but it's kind of the way it is sometimes. So you kind of, do the best you can with what you got. And the four-way sounds interesting. And, I think they've had certain title matches like this before at their year-end events at the Cage of Death. So nothing kind of unfamiliar with the CZW title in that kind of situation. So it'd be interesting anyway. So maybe a four-way was better meant to be than the singles match, but we'll see.
CWF Mid-Atlantic held the Ultimate Survivor 13 in their own version of a Cage of Death match. They had the Southern Savior, John Skyler, eliminating Bad Attitude. He won the 2015 Tornado Cibernetico, which is so weird to say for a Southern promotion. But from what I understand, it's a lot of fun to watch, and you'll be checking that out soon on their worldwide TV on YouTube, which comes out every Wednesday. So go check that out. The PWI International Heavyweight Champion Zane Dawson defeated Xyrus. And then in the Ultimate Survivor 13, Nick Richards pinned Eric Andrews to win the entire thing for his team. There was Eric Royal, Ray Kendrick, Mitch Connor, Lee Valiant, and Eric Andrews all involved. So you can go check that out, CWF247.com. We always post their YouTube stuff for free, and that comes out every Wednesday. Which kind of follows into Omega, Loco, and Yoko 3, which happened the next night. Held a lot of championship matches, headlined by Matt Hardy going up against Trevor Lee, ultimately defeating him for the Omega Championship. Yeah. And I know that a lot of people are kind of looking forward to watching the match because Ethan Carter III was also a part of that match. And it's kind of funny, Jerome, that you can have guys like Matt Hardy and Ethan Carter in TNA. And Trevor Lee also, right, part of the Global Force Wrestling thing that's still happening. it's funny that they can be in TNA and we don't get any tweets, any email about it. But then when I posted the Omega results, people start asking us, like, hey, wait a minute, Matt Hardy and Ethan Carter and Trevor Lee were in a match? Where can I watch this? I don't know what to say about that.
Hi, comedy.
Right? Especially with the recent change in TV venues, going to Pop TV. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen with that?
Yeah, Pop TV. I'll be watching that in standard definition.
And there you go.
Watch it, that means I'll continue to not watch
Jerome,
it.
Did you never try to see if you got Pop TV? I mean, come on, it's Impact Wrestling.
I know exactly where Pop TV is.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
It's so, standard definition. It's not even in high definition. It's like the Stone Age, Chris. Next you're going to tell me they're going to put it in black and white.
But Jerome, they have that big, awesome set that's made for high def TV.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
But yeah, no, that happened, so congrats to Matt Hardy. Also, Brad Attitude defeated Rory Wilkins, Chet Sterling, and the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion, Marcellus King. He is a new CWF champion. And, yeah, I kind of reached out to PWI Pro and CWF. We're going to have Stutzy on at some point to talk about this. Their champion losing the title, not on a CWF show, not something I would expect. And I did talk to them saying, hey, that's kind of surprising. I don't really... It's Omega. There's a little bit more, I don't want to say... reach for them, but obviously with Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy all being associated with that, maybe just because more people could be interested in that product, but we'll have Stutzy on to discuss that, so kind of interesting. But yeah, check that out. Omega, I believe you can get on highspots.com, and of course they have their Black Friday sale going right now, so go to pwpodcast.com/highspots. You can get up to 40% off of most DVDs. I know that some people are like, well, you know, the PWG DVDs, the Ring of Honor ones, I don't think are included in the sale. So yeah, sorry about that, but everything else is, so go check that out and support PWP at the same time. And also, speaking of, before we get into some of the big coming up shows this weekend, CZW Studios, try them out, first free month, use the code PWPFREECZW, and that's at czwstudios.com, PWPFREECZW. And honestly, just go to pwponies.com/discounts, because we got AIW, Phil Singer Games, Progress Wrestling, the Women's Wrestling Network, Monster Factory, Maryland Championship Wrestling, and pretty soon more. A lot of discounts give out to you, our listeners and readers, and we want to thank all of them, particularly the people at Pivot Chair for helping us get that out. So, Jerome, you got a big show coming up this weekend, and it's AAW's Windy City Classic 11, November 28th. I mean, we've been talking about this for, God, it seems like months now, because they had announced the big coming over Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix, and they hadn't released any matches yet, but super excited for this. Of course, like I said, November 28th in Chicago, Illinois. Headlined by Ethan Page versus Eddie Kingston versus Trevor Lee in a triple threat match for the AAW Heavyweight title. If anyone hasn't, go check out that preview they have on YouTube. It's a pretty good one. The Hooligans versus OI4K for the tag team titles. Lewis Linden versus Alex Shelley for the Heritage title. Pentagon Jr. versus Chris Hero. Tommaso Ciampa versus Phoenix. Gregory Iron versus Christian Faith. Shane Hollister. Marcus Crane versus Matt Cage and Tyson Dukes. ACH versus Davey Vega. They also have Kongo Kong announced to be there. So, Jerome, I mean, this is an amazing card.
Yeah, I mean, this is undoubtedly AEW's best card of the year. Definitely something that I am looking forward to. And this is the biggest show in the history of AEW. They're running the City of Chicago for realsies. One of the things that annoys me as a Chicagoan is every time someone says they're running Chicago and they're not. Like, WWE runs Rosemont. They're not running the actual city, everyone. And Logan Square Auditorium is right in the heart of Chicago, and it is sold out. There are going to be some tickets made available, possibly, after AEW completes setup. But as far as things stand right now, it is going to be super no vacancy. I love that building. It is such a better building than Bourbon Street, a building that I am not too much of a fan of for atmospheric reasons. I understand why AEW is running it, but I am a huge fan of this building and some of the things that they're going to be able to do. And obviously this card is going to be fantastic. I mean, this has the has show of the year potential on it with some of the matches. And obviously Chris Hero and Pentagon Jr. is the match that everybody is looking forward to. And, you know, I think even PWG fans would be jealous at the prospect of seeing these two finally go at it. And it's going to be great.
And, of course, you'll be the their live tweeting results, so everyone go check us out. Twitter.com/PWG.
I will be tweeting results, for sure.
Should be a lot of fun. I mean, hey, I'm probably more excited for that card than, the announcement from Ring of Honor that Shinsuke Nakamura is going to be at the 14th anniversary show, which will be live on pay-per-view February 26th and then TV tapings on the 27th from Las Vegas. Not saying that seeing Shinsuke Nakamura isn't special, but, I mean, it's, I think, need a little bit more for the 14th anniversary. Granted, it's a different Ring of Honor. We talk about this, like I said, in the Podcast of Honor. But, you know, Brian, we've been talking about this AEW card for a while. I'm assuming that you look up and down, it could, in its own way, be a little bit, I don't want to say more special than a PWG card, but what are your thoughts on it?
It's very similar to a PWG card, that's for sure. But, man, I mean, sure, Chris Hero Pentagon Jr. is going to be out of this world, like almost that kind of craziness that the live crowd felt when we saw Sabre Jr. and Pentagon Jr. There was this kind of vibe in the crowd. So I guess that's going to match that, because, I mean, it's kind of like an indie legend, so to speak, because Chris Hero's been in the business for, like, kind of the indie scene for, like, how many years now? 15 years going? He's kind of a legend, you know? Pentagon Jr. is kind of like this modern-day mythical kind of being in the wrestling world, so it's going to be quite the clash. And, man, that, I really think, like, Trevor Lee and Eddie Kingston, even though it's a three-way, I mentioned it before, I feel like this is the start of something, like a big rivalry for the company that can kind of carry it in 2016. Because I feel like their styles would just mesh really well. Like, Trevor Lee could really play that underdog role really well, take the punishment that Eddie Kingston can dish out. And I could just kind of see this, like, amazing rivalry to carry the company and the world title scene. So maybe Eddie Kingston goes away with the belt as a heel. That would make the most sense that Trevor Lee can chase. So unless maybe Trevor Lee does like a sneaky heel turn and something happens there. But definitely I think that's going to be the feud to focus on for AEW in 2016. And I'm really excited because, I mean, I'm not really a watcher of AEW, but when I heard that Trevor Lee's finally coming to the promotion, they were pushing him at the top. It was like a breath of fresh air because, I guess PWG kind of missed the boat on him at the top, but maybe they can kind of rebuild him to take the belt maybe next year sometime. But right now, it seems like he's kind of like in line for the title in AEW, so that's kind of exciting.
Beyond Wrestling is holding Tournament for Tomorrow 4, Night 1 and Night 2, November 28th and November 29th at FET Music, Providence, Rhode Island. Get your tickets now. LookMaNoFans.com. Of course, a lot of people talking about Matt Riddle, and that was something I discussed with Drew Cordero on a podcast you can check out somewhere on our stream. But a lot of new matches announced for these Night 1, Night 2. Donovan Dijak versus JT Dunn. Gresham versus Chima was already announced. And you can actually, you know, instead of going through all the matches, because trust me, there's a lot of them, you can look all of them up, pwpines.com, look for the Beyond Wrestling article, because basically all the singles blocks are four-way matches. They include guys like Tracy Williams, Darius Carter, Brian Fury, Leo Rush, Charade, Black Baron, TJ Marconi, David Starr, Pinky Sanchez. I mean, it's a ton of people. And they've also announced all of the tag team blocks as well. So you can look that up on the website, like I said. It's just a lot to run down. But, Jerome, these are two huge nights, particularly when you look at Night 2 with Donovan Dijak versus Chris Hero, the final eliminations for the singles and tag team tournaments, and then other, you know, people like Colt Cabana, Matt Tremont, Matt Riddle, Gresham, Dasher Hatfield, Dick Justice, all these guys on the cards. I mean, Beyond Wrestling, they're doing something really special this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, basically all the indie wrestlers are being booked this weekend. It's either AEW, AIW, Beyond. If you're not at one of those shows, I don't know where you're at this weekend with Thanksgiving going on. Remember when Thanksgiving used to be a relatively quiet weekend for pro wrestling and indie wrestling in general? Well, that's not the case. I mean, AIW, they're running their second biggest show of the year. AEW's running not only the biggest show of the year, but maybe one of the biggest shows ever. And, you know, Beyond Wrestling, they started their tradition last year with the double shot, and they are continuing that this year. So it's got the potential to be a really big weekend for independent wrestling, and, you know, I would presume that all these companies are going to draw very, very well. I think a lot of attention was drawn to Thanksgiving Day weekend, or Thanksgiving weekend, because, you know, Kevin Steen, in 2013, he made his debut for both AEW and AIW. And I think that's really what sort of put this on the map. And, you know, it's a really big deal to have these two companies running shows. And there's a lot of more attention on, you know, all three of these companies for different reasons. And I think it's a really good thing to be able to draw over Thanksgiving Day weekend.
Speaking of, I got a chance to talk with Darius Carter about Tournament for Tomorrow 4 and his thoughts about the Crusade for Change and their role. Also, he discusses the Rise or Die Trying event held from Tier 1. It's their third one, their last one of the year, on December 4th, where he has his open challenge. It is a show headlined by Luke Hawks defending his title against Ruboy Riley, as they've had quite a serious feud going up in there, including some controversial stuff with the use of the Confederate flag, which some people liked, some people didn't like, but it definitely created some discussion. And then Caleb Conley defends his FIP title against Gran Akuma. Ethan Page is involved in a four-way, so it's a really big show, and Darius Carter sits down and talks with me a little bit about it. We'll go to that interview right now, and then we'll come back. Joining me on the line right now, he is the leader of the Crusade for Change, Mr. Darius Carter. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing beautifully. Thank you for having me. I am glad to be here. Thank you, thank you.
We're, of course, here to talk about the upcoming Tier 1 show, which is happening on December 4th. And, you know, it's interesting. You made a shocking debut at their last show. What is it that made you come all the way to New York to I guess, I don't want to say invade at Tier 1 Wrestling, but obviously supplant yourself as a talent there?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I was born in New York, so that's my area. And obviously, being the mover, the shaker that I am a businessman outside of professional wrestling. So New York, it's my humble abode. So it really is only a matter of time that I ended up making it over there and start really getting a look in depth into what these promotions are about. I had heard about Tier 1. I knew that they were coming into play, and I knew that Tier 1 was a place that I needed to be at. I mean, listen to the name of it. It's Tier 1 Wrestling. How do you have Tier 1 Wrestling without the top tier? To me, it was just common sense. That's how I ended up speaking with, you know, behind the scenes with the promoter. We ended up setting a live contractual agreement, which was beautiful. It was very well done. I was very happy with it. And, you know, I continue to look forward to the future with Tier 1 and really anywhere else.
Right now, I know that you have, I believe, an open challenge, correct, for anyone. And is there an expectation? Obviously, like you said, the talent there at Tier 1, a lot of people have been talking about. They have Luke Hawks as their champion. Ruboy Riley, he's up in there. They've had guys like Tim Donst, Gran Akuma's face, and Caleb Conley. There's a lot of big names going on it now for Tier 1. You know, when you just throw out an open challenge, I mean, that kind of puts you a little bit of a disadvantage because you don't know who your opponent's going to be.
That's actually an astute observation, but the whole point of the Darius Carter Brass Ring Invitational is for me to do something different, for me to shake things up. I mean, I am the unabashed, the face of change. That is my thing. I bring change everywhere I go. And honestly, me just competing with somebody in a scheduled match, I mean, that's according to plan. That's obvious. That's evident. I want to do something different. And that's what the Darius Carter Brass Ring Invitational is about. It's about giving whichever wrestler that chooses to walk out and whichever unfortunate soul chooses to walk out, because make no mistake, I am coming to deliver a message. I'm coming to make the most impactful debut in Tier 1. That's what it's all about. people are talking about me. People are talking about the Brass Ring Invitational because it's something different. It's something people haven't heard of before. You've heard of an open challenge, but you haven't heard of an invitational, a Brass Ring Invitational.
For sure. No, and I think you've made your impact there. Speaking of, you know, people talking about you, you know, you wrestle a lot for Warriors of Wrestling and beyond wrestling. You know, as you said, you are the face of change and the leader of the crusade for change there. You know, how has that been building up? You know, you have some stuff going on beyond. You have quite a few rivalries, it seems, in Warriors of Wrestling. You know, is this something you're spreading the word, I guess? What is the crusade for change for our listeners?
Beautiful. The Crusade for Change, I mean, it came about years ago when I had faced Johnny Miyagi at Beyond Wrestling. And if you haven't seen that match, make sure you see it. I mean, it's a brutal affair. I mean, you know, viewers' discretion is advised here. You know, but that match was really the beginning of the Crusade for Change because I felt like I should have been in a more prominent position. I felt like I shouldn't have, and this was years ago, you know, in 2012, 2013, and it was kind of like I felt like I had and still do have much more to offer than this match that they were giving me. You know, they were giving me this Johnny Miyagi match, and I felt like I deserved so much more. My talents, everything about me exuded, you know, main event or, you know, at least upper higher card kind of potential, and I felt like I was being wasted. And that is where the Crusade for Change came from. The Crusade for Change is about looking to the past to help build your future. It's about never forgetting the things that you've done and how that needs to pay off in the future. It does kind of share a little bit of similarity to, you know, kind of a V for Vendetta, a bit of a gunpowder plot kind of, you know, association. But really, that's where it all comes from. It all comes from the need to be recognized and the need to be remembered for the contributions that you've given to this promotion. I've given 5 years to Beyond Wrestling, over 5 years, and I feel like I certainly haven't received from what I've put in. And that's not to say I haven't received some things. Of course, Beyond helped me get my name out there per se, but I mean, have I really been capitalized upon in terms of my potential, in terms of my ability? Absolutely not. And that's really where the crusade comes from. That's what it's about. It's about talent getting the proper time to shine when you have the history behind you indicating that you should be given the push forward. You should be given the ball to run with. If you won't give it to us, we're going to take it. Just like the Guy Fawkes and the gunpowder plot, you're not going to give the recognition. You're not going to acknowledge this. I'm going to make sure you acknowledge it. The big difference is, really, Guy Fawkes ended up hung. And that's not at all what the Crusade's about. So please don't let the mask confuse you. It's not a direct correlation. It's not us emulating Guy Fawkes. It's about the message, not about the man. That's what the Crusade is about.
Well, speaking of, you know, we have the upcoming tournament for tomorrow for Beyond Wrestling. And the match that you're in, you know, I'm hoping anyone that is going to attempt to challenge you at Tier 1 is going to watch this match. Brian, it's Brian Fury, yourself, Hot Sauce, Tracy Williams, and Jay Freddy. You know, I mean, Brian Fury and Jay Freddy, they've had some great matches in Beyond before. Tracy Williams is making his name known through Evolve and WWN Live. And you're thrown in there into the singles blockade. I mean, this is going to be a rough match. How do you prepare for three opponents like that?
And you know, that's the funny thing is, and you do say, you know, me being kind of thrown in, but I am just as viable as all of those competitors in there. I am just as capable, you know, if not more so in many ways. And I definitely do believe that there is kind of a spotlight on me in terms of it's time for me to show. In a way, people are going to say it's time for, you know, your Darius Carter to show what you're worth. But I've done that before, and I've really proven my worth. I faced Matt Tremont, you know, one of the world's most renowned hardcore brawlers, really in the game today. Everybody knows who Matt Tremont is. I stepped in there with him one-on-one and tested his mettle. I pushed him to the limit. You know, people need to remember those type of things at Beyond Wrestling King of Arts. I've been in the ring with Drew Gulak twice, and I beat him in our first ever encounter. So people need to remember these things. It's funny enough, the name of the event that I beat him at was Crises Precipitates Change, and here we are now, the Crusade for Change. So it's very interesting how these kind of how these tie into one another. But I've faced off with some great talents. I faced off with Jonathan Gresham in a fantastic match that I think kind of gets lost in the annals of history, just because it was an all-killer episode. It wasn't released as an individual match. So sometimes I think that gets overlooked. But I faced Brian Fury, wrestling his art, you know, and I've been in the ring with his style, his type of mentality. People need to realize the way I, you know, the wrestlers I came in with were the William Regals, the Fit Finleys. That's my type of style. That's my game plan. And make no mistake about it, I'm coming into this four-way with an advantage because guess what? People are underestimating me. Typically, people are underestimating me. People don't particularly know how I'm going to fare, which makes me laugh. Again, I faced Brian Fury. Brian Fury and Jay Freddie have their little thing going on. Why wouldn't I take advantage of that? Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, good, very, of course, you know, great technical wrestler. But is he as intelligent? Is he as alert as I am? That remains to be seen. These are things that I look forward to testing next week.
No, I'm looking forward to it too. I mean, you look at some of the names you've been facing recently, like a Joey Ace or a Timothy Thatcher, you know, some of these guys, you know, their names are out there. And particularly when it comes to Tier 1, I believe...
Carlito.
Oh, Carlito, yes. That happened, I believe, actually last...
That happened
week.
This past Saturday.
Yeah. So speaking on that, you know, and I know I won. There's guys like, yes, you did. And there's guys like Jay George and Joey Ace who are known to the Tier 1 wrestling fans. And then, like I mentioned before, you have Caleb Conley facing off against Gran Akuma for the FIP title. You have the Tier 1 championship. I'm assuming because you came into Tier 1, like you said, wanting to be a part of, you know, how could they be Tier 1 wrestling if they don't have the top talents there? Are you watching these title matches and kind of eyeing who your future opponents could be in Tier 1?
Championship go on when push comes to shove. So that's why I'm having this invitational. This invitational is not just about my opponent. It's not about people are getting lost in it. Who's my opponent? It doesn't matter who my opponent is. That is irrelevant. The Darius Carter Brass Ring Invitational is about Darius Carter and showing to the world that it doesn't matter who walks through those curtains because I adapt, I overcome, I evolve. That's what the Crusade for Change is about, adapting to the times. I have stood the test of time. I have been given very little from beyond. I've had weights on my shoulders, cinder blocks tied to my ankles for several years, and I've still managed to come up and gasp for air. I've still been able to keep myself alive and to really thrive in many situations. So until you've walked a day in my shoes, let's not pretend like you're Darius Carter. I know what I'm doing. This is all about me showcasing my talent at the expense of whoever dares to show up. So absolutely, I have my eyes on the FIP championship match. Absolutely, I have my eyes on the Tier 1 championship. That's what it's all about. But the invitational is to help. It's to win across all fronts. A, get people to know exactly what Darius Carter is about. B, remind people that who walks through the curtain is irrelevant in comparison to the man that is letting you walk through that curtain to face him. And C, the fact that I am the beacon of change. I'm here to bring change. I'm not here to just talk it. I'm here to walk it, and I'll walk all over whoever looks me in the eye and tries to challenge me. That's what it's all about. Confidence, devotion, dedication, that is what I am. And people are going to see that when they show up December the 4th for that Brass Ring Invitational.
Well, Darius, we appreciate the time. And as always, we like to give our guests a moment to give out some social media. So tell people where they can follow you. Follow the Crusade for Change on Twitter, Facebook, wherever.
Absolutely. You're going to find me on Twitter and Facebook. They're all / Mr. Darius Carter. You know, I keep it very simple. You can find me. All of my dates are there. I'm getting into the habit now. I'll start pinning them at the top of my Twitter page. Please do follow. I mean, follow your future. You're going to want to know because guess what? you know, you're not going to want to be one of those people that jumps on the bandwagon. You want to be one of those people that says you were there from the beginning. You want to be one of those people that says I was supporting this movement from the start. And that's really what it's all about. The Crusade for Change is only going to grow. We're getting more and more members with each passing moment, and you don't even know about it. You don't know until I tell you. So make sure you look up Darius Carter, Facebook, Twitter, all my dates, everything is there. And again, just to kind of get it out there very quickly, the 4th of December, I have Tier 1. The 18th of December, I should go in order. So on the 4th, I have Tier 1. On the 12th, I have a Warriors of Wrestling No Limits Championship match against Jesse Brooks. I lost that championship on the 15th of September. I'm going to win it back and close out 2015 as the Warriors of Wrestling No Limits Champion. Then on the 18th, I do have Five Brawl Wrestling's the Crusade for Change Challenge Series. My opponent has yet to be named. And then, of course, Beyond Wrestling, which is going to be towards the end of the month. I believe the date is the 27th. And I will be winner of Tournament for Tomorrow 4 by that point. So whatever they put me in there with, it's going to get destroyed. And my year is going to end beautifully, and my 2016 is going to begin beautifully. It's as simple as that.
Sounds great, man. We appreciate the time. Couldn't have said it any better. Of course, as he mentioned, Beyond Wrestling Tournament for Tomorrow is November 28th and 29th at Fet Music in Providence, Rhode Island. Go to lookmanofans.com. And, of course, Tier 1 Wrestling, Rise or Die Trying, December 4th in New York. Check them out at tier1wrestling.org. Look them up also on Facebook. Darius, appreciate the time, man.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. And the next stop, right after Beyond Wrestling Tournament for Tomorrow 4, is Tier 1. I look forward to changing the game. Simple as that. Change your future.
So I want to thank Darius Carter for talking with me. And like I said, for Tier 1 Wrestling and Beyond Wrestling's tournament for tomorrow this weekend, go check it out. LookmanoFans.com for tickets. Jerome, you mentioned the AIW show. And it's Hell on Earth 11. I'm assuming headlined by the absolute title match, Ricky Shane Page versus Ethan Page. Say that five times fast. The intense title, Gregory Iron versus Davey Vega. Chris Hero versus Tim Donst. Johnny Gargano facing Candice LeRae, DJ Zima, Ion, and Alex Daniels in a four-way. Jock Sampson versus Dick Justice, and Lewis Linden versus Alex Shelley. A lot of fun matches there, and you know, like we mentioned, Alex Shelley and Linden basically facing each other back-to-back.
Yeah, pretty fun card. That works.
Right, it's a pretty fun card. This is taking place Friday, November 27th. So, yeah, any thoughts on this?
I mean, I think this looks like a really good card overall. I think AIW has sort of been up and down for me this year, but this definitely looks like one of their strongest efforts. I'm really looking forward to both of the championship matches. The four-way has got the potential to be a lot of fun. Alex Daniels is a guy that's improved a ton in the last year or so. He's definitely someone that you're going to want to watch out for next year, even beyond just AIW and looking at him getting into other places possibly. You know, obviously, Alex Shelley and Lewis Linden. This is a match that I'm really looking forward to. Both versions of it. It's probably going to be very different with Linden being a heel in AIW and Linden being a babyface in AEW. The dynamics are probably going to be very different. Lewis Linden is one of those under-the-radar guys that really doesn't get a lot of the credit for the work that he has put in over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. So there's just a lot of really good stuff that I think is going to be going on with AIW this weekend. I am very much interested in the show this weekend. December 5th, maybe not.
You know, that show is happening. No Sleep Till Brooklyn. So, but yeah, no, not necessarily the most exciting. Of the two matches they've announced, not that exciting. Brian, you know, I kind of passed over you, and I didn't mean to, because I'm interested in your thoughts. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the talk that Drew Cordera and I had, but, you know, he mentions that, you know, just creating that vibe with Beyond Wrestling and FET and using a very similar platform that that PWG has with the Legion Hall, you know, I don't know how much Beyond Wrestling you do watch, but looking at the card this coming up weekend, I mean, it's a ton of wrestlers, a lot of names everyone to recognize. Any thoughts about the comparisons between Beyond and PWG at this moment? And I fully acknowledge it's early in on this for Beyond, but any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a chance to listen to the interview, but I did feel that kind of comparison when I was watching the DVD we're about to review, or MP4 for some people that we're about to review, and the Greatest Rivals Round Robin. So Especially like the way that the crowd completely surrounds the ring, probably more so than PWG does. They got more leeway in there, and it feels more like an indie rock show when I watch the Beyond Wrestling. Like, because when I see like the crowd, it feels like just this punk atmosphere, and it's really cool. And then I mean, they even did. We'll get to it when we review the DVD, but. Basically, Biff Busick was doing a crowd surf, and I mean, I've never seen that at like a wrestling show. So to be able to do that, especially since the venue is like a music venue anyway, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, the crowds are pretty similar from the one show I've seen. I don't know if all the crowds are like that at Fight, but I know that that's not the regular building as well. So, in terms of the card, man, I was looking at the card actually last night because like I feel like I'm going to get hooked on Beyond now because I see some of their cards and it's just like, it looks like fun shows because like, it's just kind of random. It seems like in some of these tags, but like you got like what, four tags per match and it's four ways. So like four times you got 16 tag teams and you're just going to go like, man, that's a lot of bodies, you know, they're going to have them booked over 2 weekends. So holy crap. Like you look at that card for this tournament, tournaments for tomorrow. And you look at the night one and it's like, wow, you got so many bodies on this card, but it's like, it's going to be unique. You know, kind of reminds me of the, like when Chikara would book the huge tag tournaments and you got all these different guys coming in. So I'm actually really excited to check it out. Cause the whole concept blows my mind of like all these tag teams and you only have them in like four opening round matches and you just kind of have them do their spots and I guess that's it. And then they're out of the tournament. So really interesting concept. I really like it. So I'm definitely going to be checking out some of these DVDs. Or actually, I think I'm going to sign up for the YouTube channel. So this is kind of a plug for that, like Beyond Demand. 99 cents for – or it's free for 2 weeks, and then it's like $9.99 or something. But yeah, I got to pick out a two-week like part of the – or like 2 weeks coming up where I can just kind of like cram some of these shows. Because I look at these past Beyond cards. It's just like, man, how did they come up with this card and get away with it? And like some of the wacky kind of combinations and stuff. And it's like they, like, I didn't even realize this, but the Fighting Taylor Boys reunited on the Beyond show. And I just went over my head. Like, what does that even happen? You know? It happens. And it wasn't even a tag. It was a 10-man tag. Like, wow. You know, like Beyond, you kind of snuck up on me. I've heard you for all these years, but this show really turned me around. So kind of a transition, I guess.
Yeah, no, Beyond Wrestling doing a lot of fun stuff. And hey, good transition to that. Beyond Wrestling, Greatest Rivals Round Robin, finally figured out what GRRR stands for. Guys, you know, hey, I guess, Jerome, you can start, and you two take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a very, very good show. I really think this is worth either going to Beyond Demand or purchasing the DVD MP4 VOD on SmartMark. This is a really solid show, and you know, if you're a fan of the guys, maybe not a fan of Beyond, then this is the perfect show for you, because you get to see, you know, guys like Biff Busick and Drew Gulak, Timothy Thatcher, Eddie Edwards. You know, those are four guys who have three matches each on the show against each other in various combinations. You've got a really good tag team match. I think this may have been my favorite match on the show, actually. You had Team Tremendous versus the former PWG Tag Team Champions, Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee. I really loved that match with Lee winning with the small package. I know Brian, I could almost feel him marking out from when I was watching the show earlier today. JT Dunn and Ricochet, which is a match that you're not going to see in a whole lot of places, and I thought that was pretty good as well. You know, this show was just really, really consistent from the start and just really good. You know, I really don't know, you know, we're going to get into some specifics, but I definitely am interested in talking more about sort of the tournament and how they book this.
Yeah, and your overall thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can kind of start with the non-tournament matches to kind of like separate that from the tournament, because the tournament is the bulk of the show. I really liked the David Starr and Rory Gulak. Like, that was like 5 minutes, but like, man, it felt like a little longer, and I kind of wanted it to last a little longer. I liked the whole dynamic of the match and the way they were moving in the ring. So, and the crowd was really into it. And I gotta say, I really loved the ring that they were using, like that white ring mat. Like, I'm a fan of white ring mats because it makes the lighting better, I think. And I really just liked the ring as like, it didn't look like a piece of shit ring. Let's just say that. And it really looked kind of semi-professional, almost going up professional. So Brian Fury and Air Fox was kind of weird just because, like, it was good and really good, like, spots and everything. But it seemed like a double heel match, and I didn't really kind of figure out, because this is kind of like my first exposure to the product. I mean,
like, Fox is the heel, or was supposed to be the heel.
Yeah, that didn't really come off well at all, so... So it kind of felt like this is great, but like I don't understand who's babyface and who's heel, so kind of off there. And then yeah, that tag match, fuck the police, dim NYC boys, former PWG World Tag Champions, whatever you want to call them, man. They were definitely healing it up, and because I mean, Team Tremendous is so over with this crowd. They're like the equivalent of like Candice and Joey to PWG basically, and just the really like beloved, it seems like, and I really love Team Tremendous as well, and I was definitely rooting for him in this match, but some dastardly heels got in the way of that. But still, I mean, they kind of had some comedy at the start, because you figured, well, I guess they're giving some guys some extra rest time in the tournament, because the final rounds were coming up, so I guess they kind of went a little long on purpose, but because it was a 20-minute match, they probably should have went like 15, but they were just doing shtick. And Ricochet and JT Dunn was really good. This is kind of my first exposure to JT Dunn. And he's good. He seems like he can grow a little bit in some areas. But, I mean, that's kind of a given with a young career. So, and it's I noticed this with Ricochet in this match. He's not doing as many crazy spots as he used to. He's kind of doing less and more groundwork. And they kind of mentioned that in the commentary. So props to Ricochet on changing up his style. And you kind of notice like that influence of maybe like going to New Japan and doing a little less and kind of making, you know, the small things more effective, and it kind of reflected in this match. So, and then I guess, Jerome, you want to talk more about the tournament itself?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of the matches, you know, were match of the year candidates, but, you know, overall I thought all the work was very consistent. I kind of like that the Drew Gulak-Timothy Thatcher match went like 5 minutes and was just the guys hitting each other really hard, you know, slapping each other and just... You know, getting the match over with this quickly, because, you know, obviously it's a very long night. This is the third match for both men. And, you know, they wrestled like two desperate guys, so it really made a lot of sense for them to do that. So, yeah, I was just really, really impressed with everything. I really liked the last match because, you know, Eddie Edwards and Biff Busick is probably one of those under-the-radar indie feuds that doesn't get the credit it deserves. You know, those two guys have had a number of really... really good efforts in Beyond Wrestling. You know, they did an Iron Man match. They've had a couple of matches in FET. Just a lot of really good stuff. I mean, what else can you say? And, you know, that crowd so desperately wanted Biff Busick to win. And when he finally did win, it really felt like a special moment. And, you know, usually what happens with someone like Biff Busick on his way out is he does a lot of jobbing on the way out. That was not the case. You know, the way the story went is that Biff Busick was basically conquering all of his rivals on his way out the door. So I like the story that was told here. Very strong stuff from Biff Busick. And it was a great way for him to go out. The crowd was great. They were with the show the whole way through.
Yeah, I agree on a lot of those points. And I got to say that the limb work was really superb. They're really... sold the limbs throughout each match, and that's kind of why Tim Thatcher and Drew Gulak were just going at it really quickly, I thought, and I because they were hurting bad, and Tim Thatcher was really selling his I believe it was his leg. Eddie Edwards was selling his arm because he faced Thatcher earlier in the night, and they were, you know, doing the arm work versus leg work, and just everything just made sense in this whole booking of the whole tournament. And like, even though some of the matches were kind of on the short side, maybe like 10 minutes or so, like it felt like, man, I kind of wanted to last a little longer, you know? Like, and this whole show was like 3 hours and something minutes, but like, it felt like a 2-hour show to me. I guess I just loved the flow of the matches, and I just really got involved in the story of the matches, especially the whole tournament booking. And just Timothy Thatcher, I thought, was just so awesome in the show. Like, he really sold, like, so well in this tournament.
He had to. He was looking up at the lights quite a bit on this show.
Yeah, and it was like... a tremendous performance in each, man. By the third match, you can tell he was just drained, but he was fighting the pain, you know, and that kind of, you know, even that, like you said, the match was what, 5 minutes between him and Gulak, but it was just kind of excellent for the story it told, and it makes perfect sense. They're tired as fuck, and they just want to at least have one win and, you know, leave with some pride on, you know, instead of going 0-3, and unfortunately, Gulak went 0-3, and Eddie Edwards, man, he's really, man, I'd never seen this kind of, I mean, I haven't watched TNA anymore, so, like, I haven't seen him in a while, and him doing this kind of singles work, it kind of throws me back to, like, ROH when he was the world champion, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in semi-retirement for the last few months, and it was great to see him perform.
Yeah, it was really excellent, and he was really, he's really the dick in that match with Biff Busick, a true dick, and a true rival, I guess, in that sense, you know, just, you know, pushing the babyface to his most limits and then overcoming it, so it was pretty awesome to see that, and I was just so, like, you know, so awesome, like, feeling so positive from watching the show that I wanted to actually go back and watch the other matches with Eddie Edwards and Biff Busick, and unfortunately, I think they should do this. They should put it on a compilation and put, like, the matches in one MP4 or DVD or something and sell it as that, because that would, I think, sell, because, like you said, it's kind of one of the underrated indie singles rivalries in the last couple of years, and, I mean, after this match, I was like, wow, you can definitely tell that this, there was a lot more in this match than I, I'm watching it for the first, because this was match 5 of the series. It's like, yeah, I'm going to watch, you know, Halloween 5, and then I'm going to go backwards, you know? So I'm pretty sure if I go watch from the beginning, the whole series, like, it'll make sense more. And, yeah, just an excellent show overall. I'm kind of hooked on Beyond now. I really want to start that 2-week free trial and kind of, like, pick the perfect time to do it, because I'm definitely going to go back and watch immediately all the Biff Busick Eddie Edwards matches and then kind of go from there. And, yeah, man, this really got me on a good, like, positive vibe. Like, I really enjoyed the show a lot, and I really haven't had this much joy watching an indie show, like, at home, like, on an MP4 or DVD in a while, you know? Because usually I'm just going to live shows now, and then I'm watching all New Japan, so it's not really, like, indie. So, yeah, this put some good vibes in me, and I'm really excited.
Awesome. Anything else that you guys want to discuss?
I mean, definitely take advantage of Beyond Demand and definitely purchase the show. I think, like I said, I think this is a really good entryway into Beyond Wrestling, especially if you are a fan of the competitors in the tournament.
Sounds ingrained. And then, yeah, no, definitely check them out. You get a free 2-week trial. And then, yeah, then it's only $9.99. And trust me, they're putting up a lot of shows in full 1080p, so definitely worth checking out. So yeah, guys, unless there's anything else that we need to talk about, I think we can get after it when we get some plugs in, starting with you, Brian.
All right, check out our store, please. We got some cool designs up there. Help support us, kind of. And, you know, redbubble.com/people/pwpondering/shop. And I'll have some new designs by the end of the year to kind of coincide with the new year. I'll definitely have a Pouring Out Pop Champagne shirt coming out soon.
Damn right.
Yeah, and I guess the official word is going to be it's 2016, and I kind of got to work with that, because, I mean, I feel like every podcast I hear, it's like, blah, 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 in 2015. You know, it's like, you know what? That's kind of like a shirt, but I think I'm going to start afresh in 2016 and just kind of go from there, because, you know, in 2016, everyone's going to be going like, something, blah, 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 in 2016. Come on now. So there you go. And check me out on Twitter, Brian DeBrain, if you want to hit me up for any graphic design work or some interesting conversation. And that's it for this week, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Jerome, what do you have going on?
Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor. Hopefully I will have some writing up soon, but make sure you go read all of the columns up at PWPonderings.com.
Thank you, everyone, for checking us out this week. We will be back next week, despite all the Thanksgiving and all the turkey that we're going to eat. We hope you all have a great holiday. We will be back. Tons of results, as always. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again real soon.